First and foremost, I wish you all a very happy new year of grace, a new year of salvation. One more time, we have been permitted by God to come to this point, and we should make the very best use of the time that we've been given. Every moment is a gift, every moment is an opportunity. I'd like to welcome also Reverend Mr. Racanelli, our deacon today, who has made it possible for us to have a solemn Mass. Thank you very much for your presence. You are always welcome here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today has many titles. Many mysteries are observed on this day. One of the titles that this feast has borne for many, many centuries is the Feast of the Circumcision, when our Lord shed his blood for the very first time, which early writers, fathers of the church, and so forth, took as a real demonstration of Christ's perfect humanity, as well as a foreshadowing of his passion. This is when our Lord formally received the name, the holy name of Jesus. The other day, I read in a beautiful book, wonderful book, by a priest of the Society of Pius X by the name of Father Patrick Troedek, who had been for many, many years one of their seminary rectors, that every time the Lord would hear his own name spoken, he would hear his mission announced. Imagine that if every time you heard your own name, you heard the purpose for your being in this world. Well, this is indeed the case with the holy name. Yeshua, Jesus, in its substance, means Savior. Some etymologies actually propose that it's even a cry for help. Yahweh, save! With an exclamation point. That's what our Lord's name means in its essence. The angel instructs Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Well, it is the eighth day out from his birth, eighth day out from the Feast of the Nativity, and on the eighth day out, the Christ child was presented according to the law in the temple for his circumcision and his naming. In Luke 2, we read, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Now these days, liturgically, because his holy name is so wonderful and gracious to us, is so powerful, and we need to venerate it so much, we now tease out a special feast for his holy name, which will come up on the 5th of January. The shedding of Christ's blood and the demonstration of his perfect humanity prompts us to reflect on the role of the one from whom the Son of God received our human nature. Mary, the mother of the Lord, gave him a perfect human nature, unstained by any trace of original sin or of actual sin. This is by a singular grace of God. Mary is not merely the mother of Christ's humanity, she is the mother of a person. You cannot be the mother of a nature. You can only be the mother of a person. I remember once I was in a lecture, a conference with Joseph Ratzinger, whom some of you will have heard of. And there was a question put to him about an aspect of the theology of Karl Rahner. And he was asked about Rahner's proposal about God being an existenz modus, you know, a mode of existence, an existenz modus. Sounds better in German. Well, Cardinal Ratzinger explained patiently for a moment what Rahner meant by this, and then finally he said, "What Father Rahner does not understand is that you cannot pray to an existenz modus." And in another point in one of his writings, he takes up the same theme, dealing once again with Karl Rahner, and he said, "An existenz modus didn't need a mother." Well, our Lord needed a mother. And that's whence he came to take our human nature, a perfect human nature, into an indestructible bond with his divinity. And taking that up, he takes all of us up so that we can be saved. If it weren't for that, we could not be saved. And we needed he needed a mother in order for us to be saved. And so no honor that we little mortals can conceive of and offer is too great to honor Mary, the Mother of God, who is therefore the Mother of the Church, and she is therefore our Mother. She is Queen of Heaven, who, as Mother of the King, intercedes and mediates Christ's freely given favors and graces. Now, we should take a beginning of a year like this as a cue to review how our last year has been and look carefully at our aspirations for the year to come. And to do this concretely, not in a dreamy kind of a way, but very concretely, taking real stock. And a cue for how we might do this or what we might do can come from the post-communion of this Holy Mass on this first day of the year, a new year of salvation. That prayer, it doesn't have to be a long prayer in order to be very rich. Well, this is a very rich prayer. Haec nos communio. You'll have it in your books if you're following your hand missals. I certainly hope you are. We do have hand missals available. Haec nos communio Domine purget a crimine, et intercedente beata Virgine Dei Genitrice Maria Celestis Remedii faciat esse consortes. May this communion, O Lord, cleanse us from guilt, and by the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, impart to us heavenly blessing. Cleanse us of guilt, and by Mary's intercession bring healing. We were, every one of us, made for holiness and for heaven. That's our intended goal, heralded in the very first cries of the one whom we call Savior, Savior God. In the great spiritual work, The Imitation of Christ, we read that were we, here's your concrete part, were we to get rid of one sinful habit a year, we would soon be holy. If we were to get rid of one sinful habit a year, we would soon be holy. So let us all ask the special help of Mary, the Mother of God, to identify which fault of ours is our principal fault, and then have the courage to bear the cross that is going to come when we begin to work to eradicate that fault. Remember, when you have a bad habit, it's usually not enough just to say, "No, I'm not going to do this anymore," by force of will. You have to replace a habit with another habit, develop another habit. Once you identify what you have to change, then you also have to identify the positive habit that you're going to use to replace it. You replace a vice with a virtue, because you can certainly replace a virtue with a vice rather quickly. It's a little hard to do it the other way around. But use a good habit to drive out bad habits. Identify what needs to be worked on, and then figure out what your strategy is going to be, so that when that principal fault comes around or is tempting or pressing in some way, you have a plan to be smart about these things. We have to have also the courage to bear the crosses that will come. As soon as you start to say no to yourself, you begin to suffer. And a lot of us don't want to stay up there on that cross. It's very difficult to do that. So we have to have the help of God, and we can, at this moment, ask Mary, especially, for intercession and healing. Cleanse us from guilt, O God, and bring intercession through Mary for our good work this year of eradicating a principal fault. Mary will place her protective mantle over us and guide us into the healing might of our Lord. So let this be for us all a holy new year of salvation, a year of crosses, and a year of victories. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.